Hi, saucy but sweet fam. Now be honest. How many times have you scrolled through Instagram today? What about Twitter? Is it the first thing you look at when you wake up and the last thing you look at before bed? Don't worry, I've been guilty of doing the same thing. It's as if social media has been taking over our entire lives. I watched the Netflix film Social Dilemma a few months ago, and it really changed how I think about social media. But still, I find platforms like Twitter and Instagram just as addictive as before I watched the film. Like most of you all, I have friends who are addicted to social media, and I use social media to promote projects and from time to time catch up with folks I haven't seen in a while. So it's hard to detach completely. Now you may be on social media right now as you're listening to this podcast. Today, let's reflect. We have a lot to unpack. You are now listening to Saucy But Sweet with Allie McPherson, a podcast where nothing is off limits, where we talk about everything from romance, sex, pop culture, and everything in between. Sit back, relax, and enjoy an unfiltered time where we keep it sweet and always saucy. Joining us today is the fabulous Z and Gemma.
So welcome to the show. I feel like I have not seen you in years, which is actually probably true since I have not seen you in person since before the pandemic. So how are you and how are you enjoying this hot back summer, as I like to call it?
I'm good. This is my first time having a full New York summer because last year when the pandemic happened, my partner and I went to Mass, where he's from, just to get out of the chaos of New York. So it's good to be back. It's good to be experiencing it with no masks, or at least moving away from masks. But yeah, good times all around. We're vaxxed, we're waxed, we're keeping it alive. Life is great.
Yes. Vaxxed and waxed.
The way God intended.
I love that. I love that. I'm just curious, how would you say things have changed for you now that you are like fully in this world, like me, kind of just out here job searching and doing the damn thing with your master's?
Well, yeah, props to us for getting our master's during a global pandemic. Yes. First of all, I can't believe we had one semester in person and the rest was online. We pretty much moved here to have online school. But anyway,
the
move to online and remote has been interesting. I think necessary. I can't imagine having to get up at 6 a.m. to be busy moving around and getting to an office anymore. So hopefully this is here to stay. From my lips to God's ears, let's keep it this way. It seems to be working. How are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I've been having a good time. Like I talked about it in my other episode, this is the summer that I get to do the things I couldn't do last summer.
Exactly.
Beach. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to go to Ride Playland, hopefully maybe September. I'm going to the pool finally. I haven't gone to the pool last year. I'm going to LA next week.
Yes.
So by the time this podcast comes on, I would have already been in LA, but so
Cali Girl.
Yes, so I'm going, you know, September 2nd for Labor Day weekend, and like again, these are the things that I could not do before, and I'm looking at it, I'm just like, yes, this is it. Like,
the world is our oyster.
Exactly.
It's fun.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this episode is about social media and our relationship with it. I think the thing that kind of kept us all together during the pandemic was social media.
Absolutely.
And I always talk shit about it. I do talk. I have a lot of critiques about social media
because it needs to be.
Yeah, but I don't think we would have all been as connected with each other without that during this rough time.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm originally from South Africa, and I've only been in New York for 2 years. So most of my support system and most of my friends and family don't live in New York or don't live in the US. And social media has quite literally been the only way that I've been able to keep in contact with my family at some times. And so while I sometimes judge myself for how often I'm on it or how often I'm on my phone and stuff, that's the only way I can really connect with people right now. And as unfortunate as that is, I've also made friendships and strengthened friendships through social media. So it's not all a loss, but definitely very grateful for it.
Yeah, for sure. And even like with dating, people were relying on Hinge and Tinder. I don't know why Tinder, but it exists. you know.
We love pain. We love torture.
We do. That's what it is. I mean, no, my friend George, shout out to George, who used to be the producer for this podcast. He met his girlfriend on Bumble, and they're still together. They live together. They're happy. So, hey, you know what I mean? And a lot of people were, I'm sure, doing virtual dating. And it works, you know, you don't, right. You know, it was a lonely time. And I think that this summer, too, I've been on social media even more because I'm capturing the moments I missed last year.
Exactly. We're making up for lost time.
Exactly. And have you found that you've been doing that, too, this summer? Do you feel like you've kind of been scrolling a little bit more than you used to?
Absolutely. I mean, I met my partner through Tinder, so I can't be too harsh on the dating app. But I mean,
yeah.
You know, I guess miracles happen. But no, I definitely have. I mean, I'd heard so much about TikTok and was like, no, it's not for me. I had Vine. Like, my needs have been met. It's for the kids. And now it's borderline embarrassing how much I enjoy TikTok. The fact that these people are so young and creating these communities, and like, I learned so much random. Can I swear?
Yeah, of course, please.
I learned so much random shit on TikTok, babe. You would not believe it. So much random shit. And these kids are just doing it, and they're putting themselves out there, and they're making connections and stuff. It's actually really exciting to watch.
Yeah. No, I've actually never been on TikTok. Like, I've been on, like, I've been sent, like, maybe some things to look at, and I'll see some things, but I've never actually, like, started a TikTok or really been on there often. But I'm, you know, I've been on social media since I was 12. I had a Facebook. I begged my mother to make a Facebook page. Back then, Facebook was a lot different than it is now.
Right.
But, like, yeah, I was 12 years old, and she really didn't, or it was either 13 or 14, 12, 13 or 14, and I had to beg. Like, it was really hard. I was like, please. And she was like, oh, no, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. And I could understand that hesitancy. Like, how long have you been on social media?
Well, I actually saw my Twitter account. I saw a notification that was like, you've had this account for 11 years. And I was like, what 11 years? There's no way. It doesn't even feel that long. I don't even think I've been alive for that long. How have I had this one social media account? But really and truly, yeah. I can remember tweeting like, oh, had such a good time this weekend, to no one. Just tweeting it out into the world, hoping to have some sort of acknowledgement. And now 11 years later, I'm doing the same exact thing.
Oh my God.
But I'm older now, and I have made relationships through social media. So I guess we use it in different ways.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, God, I think I would cringe if I saw my Facebook statuses from 13, 14, 15. I would cringe, you know, little things of like, oh, why would I write that?
My friends and I send them to each other. Yeah. Like, did you ever go through the phase where you used to type with numbers? You would use, like, a 3 for an E or a 0 for an O and capitals?
No.
Oh, am I telling on myself?
No.
Oh, I'm telling on myself.
Is that something that people did?
Interesting.
A lot of people did that?
No, not that I'm aware of. No.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it's embarrassing.
I mean, I mean, even looking at old pictures of me from that time that I posted, I'd be like, oh, no, girl, why did
Who
you...
Who is she?
Why did you wear that? Why did you... Why was your makeup like that? Why would you post that? Like, really things that...
It'd really be like that.
Yeah. Cringe-worthy things.
I remember I wasn't allowed to wear makeup until I was 18. Wow. And so every once in a while, my mom would let me do my own. And the eyeliner was halfway up my eyelid. The lip gloss was on my chin. But I went outside. And I thought I was serving.
Mm-hmm.
And we appreciate the journey, but my God, did she need help.
Oh, man.
Our younger selves were cute.
And then you wonder, why didn't my friends say anything? It's like, because they were doing the same thing.
Why did no... Was no one looking at me? Was no one looking at me or supportive enough to be like, go back inside?
Yeah, or don't post that. Delete this now.
Yeah. That's not great for the culture.
But you know why? The thing is, our friends were doing the same thing. I think all of my friends can look back and say, ooh, and they, that's why so many people, when you go on their Instagram pages, they've had it for maybe 12 years, and they only have pictures up until maybe like starting from last year, because they deleted so much.
I don't know her anymore. This is the new me. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, and I respect that. Hey, I mean, I think I have my Instagram photos up from like maybe 2016, because there were some photos that were pretty good that I had back then.
Yeah.
I think it was 2016. I know in high school I was on the gram, definitely on the gram, and I posted some good stuff.
It was cute.
Yeah, you know, but then I look back sometimes, I'm like, ooh, girl, and I had a goth phase in middle school.
You did. I love that for you.
Mm-hmm. A goth phase. Had little colors in my hair, of course, not dyed. Didn't dye it.
No.
Wasn't allowed to dye.
No, God forbid.
Had the little pieces in the hair, the cut, and then the two pigtails,
yes.
Dark makeup, black gloves.
What were you listening to?
I don't know. I used to... The thing is, I didn't necessarily listen to goth music at that time, but I did always like Evanescence, Paramore. I always liked that, even when I wasn't dressing like that.
Paramore was my shit. The other day I went on a walk and I was listening to like My Chemical Romance and Paramore, and I was like, I was so cool when I was 12 years old.
Yeah.
But I didn't do the physical emo phase. I just had the emotions and the teenage angst and the playlist to match.
Shout out to Olivia Rodrigo.
Truly.
Where were you when I was 17?
There is not, I mean, Taylor Swift had her moment, but the teenage angst in that girl's voice, I am living for Olivia Rodrigo right now.
I love it. She just says the things that I think we're all thinking, even now. Like, she says some things.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, I'm 25 and I 100% am with you. Well, what? Jealousy.
She should get deja vu. You're right.
I mean, heartbreak. I mean, your first heartbreak. I mean, oh my God. And speaking of social media, I posted about my first heartbreak on social media. I'm like, why would you do that? I did. I posted about it. I did.
As you should. Listen, world, I'm sad and you're going to have to deal with it.
You know, and it's funny because I judge people who do that, but then I was like, wait, you did that.
You were one of them. However, maybe that's why you judge them, because it's like, damn, I wish I could do this shamelessly.
Yeah, exactly. So how would you say your relationship with social media changed over time? Like, did it start off as addictive for you, or did you kind of feel like it was more healthier, or now do you feel like you're in a more healthier space with it?
I feel like I've always had a pretty distant relationship with social media. I've never really been caught up in a social media persona or who I, you know, I'm trying to come across as or anything like that. And I don't know if that's because of my parents' influence or because I just am too lazy to care about stuff like that. But I think starting off, it was more so just, oh, this is fun. Everyone else is doing it. Let me just play along. And now it's, okay, I think I'm doing really cool things and other people should see it. So I think I definitely care a bit more about it now, or more so that I want people to think I'm cool. But then it's like, if you think you're cool, that's all that really matters. But no, I like people to think I'm cool too.
You see that right there, I think, is how a lot of people feel about it. Like, I feel like when I first started, I wanted just to kind of be in the crowd, you know, because my friends were on it and I just wanted to be part of that cool crowd.
Right.
And now as I'm on it, as time went on, I felt that I was just like, it's kind of validation. It stayed being that validation thing and almost got worse because...
Right.
The stakes are higher, you know what I mean? You're hanging out with different people, mm-hmm. and they're getting more likes than you've ever seen. And you're like, oh, wow, let me keep doing... And you're just doing it for the kind of the wrong reasons, and I find that sometimes when I post, it's like, wait, I try to ask myself, why are you posting this now?
Right.
You know, like, why?
What is the purpose? Or like, what are you trying to get out of this besides people saying, oh my God, you're so this and you're so that? Like, what is the actual reason for this? I feel that.
And I suggest, I don't know if you do this, but I suggest my listeners do this. I recently found out that there's a function there's a button that you can press where you don't have to see the amount of likes that people have.
Oh, yes.
And same with you. They're not going to see the likes you have. I love it. It makes me feel so much more calm on that app.
I agree. I think that, especially for the younger generation who are probably a lot more impressionable than us and really intrude. I mean, I definitely went through a phase where I would post a photo and if I didn't have, you know, a certain amount of likes and an amount of time, I'd delete it and then repost mm-hmm. it, or I'd post a photo and then someone else was getting like 5 more likes than me. And I'm like, am I just not attractive? Am I just not showing enough? Things like that. And it really does creep under your skin. But I think the move towards removing likes will really, really benefit a lot of people.
Oh yeah, and it's already helped me. Like I, you know, even, you know, when my boyfriend posts a picture, I can't tell that he got 100 something likes. I can't tell. I mean, he usually does. I mean, I've seen his likes and he gets a lot, but like, I can't see that anymore and it makes me feel better. It's like, okay, I can like his picture for what it is, not, you know, thinking about how many people liked
exactly.
it. Exactly. Ugh, it's just the worst.
Exactly. We're posting stuff because I want to post that and not because I'm hoping for a specific response or reaction. And that's a really freeing and really comforting.
Exactly.
And I think that's what social media was supposed to be. But of course, we're greedy and we often ruin things as people. But, you know, we can rectify it.
I wish that this had been there before. You know what I mean? Because so many of us have just been obsessing over it. And it's that feeling of like... just wanting more and more. Like, I want more people to like me. I want more. And it's like, it's never enough. I don't know if you've watched Social Dilemma on Netflix.
No, I don't want to be upset.
Oh, it's the best. It's really well-made documentary that's now free on YouTube, which I think is great. For people who don't have Netflix, and it just tell on themselves, man. These people who made Pinterest and all that, they're like, they even admit that their kids are not allowed on it. It's so damaging.
The creators?
They talk about it. They're like, oh yeah, my kids don't get on that. Yeah.
Wow. You can. Yours can. And like, oh, yeah, fill my pockets. But mine? No. I'm going to raise healthy children. No, thank you. That's tea.
Mm-hmm. It's never, you're not supposed to ever be satisfied. Like, you can get 600 likes and not, but like, I want 1,000 though. I want 2,000. You keep wanting more. You're never going to be satisfied, yeah, which is why you keep going on it. It takes over your life, you know, if you allow it.
Wow. It does. And it can really wreck your self-esteem and your image. It's like, I think I look good in this. Why aren't other people telling me that?
And it's false validation because half of these people don't even know you. Who knows 600 people? Like, when I see likes, I'm just like, who are these people? Who are they?
And mostly, I mean, when I think about how I use social media sometimes, I'm just aimlessly scrolling. I see like a second of something, like it, and I move on. So it's like, okay, if you're using it in this way, why are you assuming other people are going through your pictures and being like, oh, I'm going to analyze this and I'm only going to like it of X, Y, and Z? People don't care, babe. Mm-hmm. People don't care.
Yeah, there's too much on there. It's too much on there. Way too much. Every single person to give the, you know, it's like, like you said, scroll like, and you look at it and you take it seriously and you're like, oh, they really like me. Let me do it again. Right. Let me do it again. And that's what I call false validation. It's not, the real validation is with you.
And absolutely. I found like spirituality and self-confidence and all of that very young. And I'm so grateful that I did, because I can't imagine going through the social media era not realizing that you have to be your anchor and not realizing that it actually really doesn't matter what people are saying or what people are posting, because as cliche as it is, you are the only person whose opinion should matter of yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's funny, going through high school and middle school is hard enough because you're already going to, you know, hear some nasty things because they're mean. Kids are very mean. Mm-hmm. And now you got social media making you feel like, oh God, maybe I really am not that great because they didn't like my stuff.
Right.
And so you really have to have that instilled in you young, and hopefully these parents are instilling in their kids that social media does not matter. Please do not get your validation from these sites. Don't do it.
Also, the idea that there's people whose sole purpose is to go on there and just trash other people is so bizarre to me. I cannot imagine waking up on God's earth, breathing air, and being like, I'm just gonna go and make some random people feel like shit today. Like, what is the cognitive dissonance going on for you to think that that is the way to live life? That's so sad.
Yeah, and those are the people that feel bad about themselves, and so it makes them feel better to go on social media and trash other people because they already feel like trash.
Right. The most insecure, yeah.
So insecure, and when you're young, you don't think that. You think, oh, they're strong. No, they're not. They're the least strongest people.
Really and truly, if these people don't know who they are, who are you to believe what they say you are? They don't know shit about themselves. They don't know shit about you.
That's facts. But the thing is, I will say one good thing about social media. Social media, when we check people who make mistakes, and when we, you know, it can be a learning experience for a lot of people, or a place where, you know, you can get canceled for doing some dumb shit. Mm-hmm. You know, and I talk about cancel culture, how I'm not necessarily a big fan of the word cancel culture, more accountability culture. You know, I like that we can hold people accountable on social media, like DaBaby, mm-hmm, right? Look how much he lost after what he said.
That man is a mess. And he kept making it worse.
Look how much he lost.
For himself. Shut up. Like, you made an issue. Don't, just sit down for a second.
Dig in a hole.
That's another thing. People don't understand that you don't have to voice every opinion you mm-hmm have. You don't have to. I mean, your freedom of speech and like be you, but sometimes you can be quiet. Write it on a piece of paper and burn it. Then you put it out. Don't tweet it.
That's a fact. I mean, look at R. Kelly. You know, I mean, look how many people came forward and used social media to come out and you know, the hashtags of the Me Too movement. Like, so much did come from social media that if it wasn't around, this stuff wouldn't have been held accountable, yeah. I don't think.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I definitely want to give it its credit where it's due.
Absolutely.
But I do find that, although it does that, it does so much damage to the mental health. And luckily, you know, I believe in social media detoxes. Have you ever done this? I've tried to do it for a week, then went back on.
That's a week? Get it, babe. I used to have, you know, on an iPhone, you can do, like, screen time. So you can say, I only want to spend 4 hours on Instagram or however much, and then once those 4 hours have gone through, it locks you out. I've done that a couple times, but I know the code, and so that often doesn't stop me from going back into the app.
Yep.
But I do, if I'm going through, like if I'm in school and there's exams, I'll often delete the apps and then just use them on the weekends or anything like that. But I could use, I think next time I go on some sort of holiday or vacation, it'll definitely be a detox just to kind of be present, because I will most likely need a break from it all.
I find that I wish detoxes worked for me. They don't, because I have friends who are on social media when we hang out, and it's just too addicting.
Right. So what reasons do you feel the need to take detoxes?
Just when I feel like what I'm seeing is starting to impact my mental health and my perspective. Like if I'm looking at someone's Insta story or posts and I'm like, I don't feel so good about myself after seeing that. And there's no reason for me not to feel good about myself, because I'm still me, I'm still doing what I'm doing, I'm still happy, I got great family, I'm blessed. But I don't feel too good about myself right now. Let's unpack that. Let's kind of move back and distance myself a little bit from this app and come back on when I'm feeling a little bit better. That's what I do. And I think everyone should do that too, because a lot of times we just sit with it and keep letting it just get worse and worse.
Yeah, I mean, comparison is the thief of joy. I've definitely gone through times when I've looked back and seen my friends back home living life. Or, I mean, even down to, it was winter here and summer in South Africa. And I was like, I wish I was in the sun. And that made me sad that I wasn't in the sun. So I absolutely hear you. And just recognizing that there is no reason for me to be comparing my life to this person right now. Let me take a seat back. Sometimes I'll unfollow people and then just follow like home decor accounts. So then every time I go on Instagram, I'm manifesting my dream life, and then that makes me feel good. And then I'll like slowly ease people back on.
Yeah.
You should try it out.
Yeah. And I think also when you're single, something that I think for me, a lot of people do is like when you're single and you look at like couples, you'll just be like, oh man, I wish I had that. And I have a friend who I spoke to about this, and she actually had a great, like a way different experience with it. She said actually when she sees couples, she's a single woman, when she sees couples, she actually thinks about her having that, and it's not a sad thing because she's thinking about it happening with her. And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I usually think about it not happening to me. Like that's why I get sad, because I'm like, oh, it's not me. But it's like, no, like, kind of change it around a little bit.
Absolutely. I will sometimes follow people whose style I admire or who's are doing things that I find really cool, because I know that when I see it, it'll motivate me to want to be as excited about what I'm doing or what I'm wearing. So they're definitely people that I follow simply because I know they're going to make me want to go out and do good things.
Yeah, that's so important. That's so important. And I know when I was single, too, I would, like, stay off social media on Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah.
That can be rough.
It cuts deep.
Yeah, and it really shouldn't be such a big deal. It's just a day. Like, you should really be, like, making your partner feel amazing every single day.
Yeah.
But I'm like...
Capitalism,
yeah,
babe.
But I'm like...
Capitalism and to make us feel shitty about being single. I'm convinced.
It is definitely Valentine's Day. It's like, dag, like, y'all trying to make us feel real bad today. Okay.
You guys couldn't just do this at home by yourselves? You have to show me, you have to be up in my face? Damn, okay.
Oh my God, it is rough. It is rough.
But also be happy, be in love, and like show off your love. But also, damn, keep it PG. Keep it out of my face.
Keep it PG when you're when I'm single.
Yeah, exactly. But when we're all in love, oh my God, what did you get? This is what I got. So cute.
I do suggest, like, if you are single and you know this stuff does bother you, like, I definitely would take a detox on Valentine's Day. Even, you know, if you don't have a family, you know, if you feel like you don't have a great relationship with your family, or you don't, you know, Father's Day or Mother's Day is triggering for you, I definitely suggest staying off for holidays.
Absolutely.
Too, because those can be really rough.
Yeah. I say my biggest piece of advice, not that you asked, would be to use social media with intention.
Yeah.
I feel like people just let it run amok, and then you're being faced with things that you don't really care about or things that are going to do nothing but hurt you. And so if you're going in with it, you're going into it being like, I know exactly what I'm trying to get from it, and I'm going to reject everything that isn't that. I mean, don't be like, you know, Fox News and like denying facts.
Yeah.
But I mean, take ownership of what you're exposing yourself to.
For sure. And I do have to ask this.
Yes.
I'm going to ask this question.
Okay.
how many Twitter or Instagram fights have you been a part of since being on these platforms? Have you ever kind of seen something that really bothered you and you just felt the need to go in on this person? I need to know this.
I can honestly tell you, I think I've had two instances. Okay. And it was just responding to someone else and being like, first of all, no. Second of all, no. And third of all, try to be a better person. And then when people respond, I'm like, I've said what I need to say. What you got to say doesn't have anything to do with me. I don't have the energy to get in internet fights. How many of you? Oh, tell me. How many of you have been there?
I'm going to say one because that's all I remember. My memory is not great.
Okay.
My patience is slim. It's low. So I can say that I can say it with pride because my patience is so low that I've been in only one. This, I didn't really think of it as a fight as much as just me checking you, but it turned into a fight. So right. It was my former stepfather. He's on Facebook a lot. We talk every now and then. He posted something really, really ignorant and inconsiderate about something concerning police brutality and the Black Lives Matter movement. Basically kind of saying, you know, well, if you don't do anything wrong, police are not going to stop you, duh. Mm-hmm. And I had to be like, excuse me, as a Black person and you as a person of color, saying this is very inappropriate, and especially during this time where you see what's happening. And his aunt kind of went off on me and was like, well, that's his opinion. Who are you to come at him for that? And I was like, well, excuse me, blah, blah, blah. I don't know exactly what I said, but basically I checked her ass too, because it was like, number one, you...
As you should.
Yeah, like, this conversation is not about you, so calm yourself. And
the door's over there.
Yeah, and she forgot, by the way. I don't have her on Facebook, so she didn't know that I'm his former stepchild. She kind of forgot that. I did meet her before, but she didn't... I guess she just kind of forgot that I'm his stepdaughter. His former stepdaughter.
Right.
And I told her, you know, if you want to give me more tips on how to speak to my stepfather, you can DM me now. That was the last I heard from her again. She didn't say shit after that.
You let me know. I didn't know you meant, like, family stuff on Facebook, because I feel like everyone in our generation has had to check at least a handful of family members on Facebook. They're ruthless. Facebook truly is a lawless place for people 45 plus. It's wild. I remember my stepdad made a post about, why should pads be free for women when blah, blah, blah? And I was like, there is no way you have four daughters and you are speaking this shit on Facebook right now. You need to log off and you need to speak to my mom. Because something's not clicking.
Yeah. What advice do you have for, like, young kids or teens who are trying to, like, figure out how much social media time they should give themselves? Because let's face it, we can say all we want that we're going to stay off and be on once a day, and we're on 12 times a day.
True. My advice would be, like I said, to use it intentionally. Know, try to figure out why you're going to... I mean, if you're just there to see what your friends and family are up to, that's cute. That's amazing. But if you're following these influencers that are going to sell you things or sell you ideologies or sell you body types and stuff like that, you need to go into it recognizing it for what it is. See if that's going to help you be a better person, or if you're just watching it because you want to watch it.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, actually, to piggyback off what you're saying, I'd say be careful with, like, yeah, following influencers, because absolutely. I followed a lot years ago and I had to, like, unfollow because I felt like much of it was curated and just not real, and I would find myself trying to, like, gravitating toward that. And I'm like, why are you gravitating to something that's curated? That's literally, that's their job, to make their lives look perfect.
Do you remember when Kim did the appetite suppressant lollipops?
Yes.
What is wrong? That also, just the idea that money, dude, the greed for you to sell appetite suppressants to young children to make a bag is sickening, to be honest.
Yeah, people already grow up. A lot of women grow up already not feeling like their body's beautiful, not feeling thin enough, not feeling... Now you're making it worse. And it's like, that's why I love Jameela Jamil.
Yes. She
always, uses social media to shine a light on body positivity that is not toxic. Because so much of it is very toxic. You got Kylie Jenner with her body type. She got work done. I'm not shaming her for that. You get work done. And then you want to say, oh, this is my diet. No, you got work done. Mm-hmm. Stop, you know.
You also have a nutritionist, a dietitian, a trainer, probably multiple sculpting sessions a month. So that's not just your meal. It's not just that. There is so much more.
Come on. You see her waist now, her abs? I'm like, girl, stop. that's just something that everyone could just get.
Be open about, there's nothing wrong with plastic surgery, there's nothing wrong with wanting to improve your appearance, but don't improve your appearance through money and then try to convince people that if they buy whatever you're trying to sell them, or if they follow your way of life, they're going to be the same. That's what fucks people up, is that you're not being transparent with how you got to your results, or just with who you really are.
Be honest, be transparent. But yeah, this has been a great conversation. Wish I could say for the next episode that I can let people know, hey guys, I'm on it less. I don't think so. I think I'm still gonna have, like, I'm working on it every day. I'm really working on
it. We're aware of it, and we're trying.
Yeah.
God loves a trier.
Exactly. We are trying, and that is it. But yes, you can come on anytime. Please, this has been a great conversation.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited. I would love to come back.
Over the last few months, I have been steadfast on going to nail salons and either getting extensions or just adding nail polish to my nails. We all know that can do so much damage to your nails. Not gonna lie, they are not in the best shape at the moment. If you're anything like me and love getting your nails done, but are on the lookout for products that will hydrate your nails and leave them looking and feeling the best they can be, then Sundays is the perfect nail care wellness brand for you. Each product is non-toxic and vegan. Not to mention, it will leave your nails feeling refreshed and ready to go. As you know, we're all out here trying to enjoy a hot girl or hot boy summer, so we need to make sure our nails are in tip-top shape. Clean beauty products are the best form of self-care. What are you waiting for? Log on to sundays.com, and for a discount on your fave nail polishes, serums, and hydrating products, use the code ALIVENUE. That's ALIVENUE. Your nails will thank you later. Before we go, we will be spotlighting Con Killian for our Saucy But Sweet Tune of the Week Artist Spotlight. Con Killian is an R&B artist from Detroit. His reflective songwriting is largely influenced by his romantic relationships and childhood experiences. This man can sing, y'all. He is a force to be reckoned with. Here is Con Killian.
Yo, what's up? This is R&B recording artist Con Killian, and my latest single, Proud of You, pays homage to a time in my life when I realized the true power behind positive energy and how you can use it to uplift yourself and those around you. This song talks about someone who makes the choice and avoids a toxic situation. See, I hope when you listen to it, you can envision a life or a moment of time where you prioritize your own well-being. And here is Proud of You by me, Con Killian, right here on the Saucy But Sweet podcast.
I know the difference, yeah. You know I'm different, yeah. You can't get me off your mind, oh no. But you let him take up your time. It started with a drunk text to late night drive, drunk sex. Now I ain't your guy. One fight, put you by my side, by my side, by my side. I know you're here cause of who I am.
I know
you came cause of who I am. I pay your attention. Him and I ain't the same cause I hit different. If he's written this now, too late, I'm on my drink shit. Life won't always be fair, but I don't care. I'm so proud of you, proud of you. I'm so proud of you, proud of you, yeah. You know that energy overdue, I'm proud of you. You're here cause of who I am, and I'm not. You feel a difference. You open your thighs and you open your senses, yeah. Now open your eyes, see what you've been missing within it. To the life out of your body. You were broken when I got it. I'ma get it, you can strip it down for me. Started with a drunk text to
do late night drive. Drunk sex, now I ain't your guy. One fight, put you by my side, by my side, by my side. I know you here cause of who I am. Yeah. I know you game cause of who I am. I pay your attention. Him and I ain't the same cause I hit different. If he's reading this now, it's too late, call it drink shit. Life won't always be fair, but I don't care. I'm so proud of you, proud of you. I'm so proud of you, proud of you, yeah. You know that energy overdue, I'm proud of you. You're here cause of who I am. And I'm not just anybody. I'm not just anybody. And I've been this body. Fuck it with him, that's Russian roulette. Baby, ain't no, you at the club. Fuck it with me, they never should've played. Just shit got crazy. Beep said, baby, cause you know.
And that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to Saucy But Sweet with Allie McPherson.